for your mom and dad too if you want. I might have to go get JD one. Oh, yeah. Grandpa can have one. That's why he came down here. I'll pass them out. You take one and pass one down. Then everybody can have, don't have to wait till after you serve. Have
Good evening, family. It's good to see everybody here. What an awesome night as we get ready to celebrate the birth of our Savior, Jesus. And we're going to pass those candy canes around. You can, as I tell the kids in my class, I love to pass them out and give them a sugar rush for the next teacher. Remember Judy doing that? But I tell them to pick up the wrappers. So, yep, it's good. So while we're waiting, I just have a quick question. How many of you shake your presents at home? Come on, be honest. You're in church. Yeah. Did you always get it right when you shook it? No? You know, it's like your parents just put something in there to make it sound impressive, and you open it up, and it's a rock or something. But for the most part, it's pretty good. I mean, I've shaken them so much, I ripped the paper, and then I got in trouble because they could tell I'd done some damage. We have a short, brief little video that kind of sets this all up for us tonight. So let's turn the lights down and fire this puppy up.
Look, I know we're all excited for Christmas morning, but if I hear one toe hit the ground before sunrise...
Mom and Dad are sleeping in.
Ah! What? Come on!
We're playing.
It's almost here. A wonderful celebration is at hand. I love watching the family Christmas Eve ritual. Bake, wrap, collapse.
And by family, you mean just the mom, right?
I'd give anything to taste those cookies.
And help clean up?
And help clean up. Love helping clean up that cookie mess. Huh?
What was that?
Likely just a draft blowing through the house.
That or Grandma's fruitcake finally detonated.
It's a child!
Get to your places! Go, 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 go!
And freeze!
Zip it, everybody!
Gloria!
Sorry.
Hey, buddy. What are you doing out of bed?
Oh, sorry, Daddy. I was just checking on Jesus.
Mm-hmm. And how's he doing?
Pretty good. It's his birthday, you know?
That's right. You thinking about what to give him?
No, but I think I should give him to someone else. Maybe Justin next door?
Hold up. You want to give Jesus away?
Yeah, so Justin can know him too.
You know what, bud? I think you just figured out Christmas.
Hey, Dad, can Jesus sleep with my turtle tonight?
How about just on the nightstand?
Ah! The Messiah has been kidnapped!
Armor up, boys! We're going to battle!
Oh, my stars! What kind of father loses the Redeemer of mankind?
Hey, everyone, settle down.
Gabriel to Angel Legion Alpha, do you copy? It's go time.
Roger that. Moving in. Over.
We need torches and pitchforks. Everyone on my six.
Everyone, hey, it's okay. We must let him go.
Okay, Blessed Mother, please explain yourself.
This is why he came, to be poured out for many, given as a sacrifice. We will each do well to regift him to all we can.
So, should I call off the Angel Hit Squad, or no?
Yeah, buddy. Our work here is done.
Have the merriest of Christmases, friends.
all of you.
To the point. When I think of Christmas Eve, when I think of the Christmas season, since I'm paid to be the words guy around here, words come to my mind. And I just want to start tonight by just saying the words that we speak tonight are important. The words we speak anytime at church over the weekend are always important. Anytime as a pastor, my words need to speak truth. But when we talk about the Christmas holidays and you think about memories and the joy and the excitement, regrettably, there's days and there's going to be times where people are not going to have a joyous time. There are people that are struggling right now. There are people that are suffering. There's people that have had a hard year. There are empty seats around the table in our homes. But for the most part, all of us can acknowledge that this is a time for joyousness. It's a time for celebration. It's a time for worship. But it's a great time to honor our Savior. So let's start with a word of prayer, and we'll get started and get in the Word. Father, we thank you for this time that we gather as a church family, visitors and guests alike. But Father, we know the reason for the season. It's your Son, Jesus. And you sent him to us as a gift. And it's a gift not only for me. It's not a gift just for Hinesboro Christian Church, for the community of Hinesboro, Illinois. It's for the world. Father, we're thankful that you loved us first and that you sent us your Son so that we could have eternity with you when we are in relationship with you. So, Father, speak through me this evening. Father, I pray that the word just soaks deeply into our spirits. Lord, we love you and we say thank you. And all God's people said, amen. So when you think about Christmas Eve, when you think about Christmas morning, what words come to your mind? Anybody? Anybody? What words? What's your thoughts? What comes flashing to your mind right away? I'm sorry?
Happiness.
Happiness, okay. We asked the kids. Yeah, oh, what? Yes. I'm sorry? Be good.
Be on the nice list.
Only on Christmas morning? Always, right? That's the right answer. You're always good. Yes. Jesus, of course. What else? Good answers. What about family? What about trees? What about lights? What about cards? Do we still do cards? Do you still send cards out? That used to be quite the routine, and we used to put them across the archways in our home. We'd hang them on the strings, and some people still do that. Not so much anymore. We got in the electronics and the digital pictures, and that's okay. But the giving and getting of gifts, the exchange of pleasantries. What about things like going to somebody who has needs, feeding people that are hungry, somebody on the street? I struggle. You know this. You've heard me say this from the pulpit many times. I go to places and I see the guy or lady on the corner with the sign. I struggle with that. Not because I don't want to give. I just don't know if it's the right thing to do or not. And then I overthink it, and I overprocess it, and then I'm gone because I'm in my car and I pass by. Well, God doesn't want us to do that. God wants us to have this time to build memories, traditions, and opportunities for us to give to the world. Just as that little boy in that video said, it's not about Jesus in a manger scene. It's about giving Jesus away. And that's what I want to talk to you about tonight. Tonight we're going to be in the book of Matthew, chapter 1. It's a piece of the story of the night when Jesus was born, leading up to it. I have a short illustration I want to share with you. Words are important. And as a teacher, as a pastor, I speak words a lot. And if it was a speaking person that we needed, somebody who was a teacher, if we needed information, God would have sent us an educator. If our greatest need had been technology, God would have sent us a scientist. If our greatest need had been money, God would have sent us an economist. If our greatest need had been pleasure, God would have sent us an entertainer. But our greatest need was forgiveness. So God sent us a Savior. That's the joy, that's the gift, that's the blessing of the holiday season. The birth of Jesus, whatever the tradition, whatever the celebrations, whatever the amount of food you eat, the pleasant exchange of gifts, it's about the birth of Jesus, our Savior. And that's the focus that we have for tonight. So if you have your Bibles, let's open up our Bibles to Matthew chapter 1. And you don't hear this part of the story very much unless they're reading the whole chapter. But starting in verse 18, mine has a heading, Joseph accepts Jesus as his son. That's what mine is entitled. Verse 18, this is how the birth of Jesus, the Messiah, came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. We all know what that means. We all know that it was a spiritual birth. Husband and wife had not lain together. It was not a biological birth. And it was interesting because they weren't married yet. Mary and Joseph were in an awkward situation. Because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law and yet did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had it in mind to divorce her quietly. He could have done that. He was within his rights that his wife, obviously pregnant, the world would see her and go, oh, obviously she had gone off and done that, and it would have been within his rights to divorce her. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophets. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. But he did not consummate their marriage until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus. That's a part of the story we don't hear very much about. And sometimes it comes up during the Christmas story, but many times it comes up later when you're talking about things, that the difficult situations and timing of things that happen in life. I shared it this past week, and I remember growing up at a time when girls got pregnant outside of wedlock, many times they would disappear. The family, out of shame, would take the girl or move. They had homes and hospitals where girls could go to have their babies, and then the babies would be adopted or whatever to keep the family name and the honor. Joseph could have divorced her. He could have kicked her to the curb. Sometimes people at this time of the year feel like they've been kicked to the curb. Sometimes life does that to you. Sometimes there are circumstances beyond our control. Things happen. And in this case, Joseph could have done, it would have been honorable for him. It's almost would have been expected. And in fact, we know part of the story is they went back to Bethlehem. I'm sure he got the cold shoulder from the family. They expected better. They didn't want to have the shame brought upon their family. But God had spoken a word to him, and that word was important. Do you know how many prophecies are in the Old Testament pointing to the birth of Jesus? Anybody want to guess? Over 300. 300 documented prophecies, all pointing to this occasion that we're celebrating tonight. 300 prophecies given over time. And the prophecy that Jesus was talking about right here, or actually was being talked about to Joseph, was from a prophet from 765 BC. Over 750 years before Jesus was born, that word came that a virgin was going to bear a child, and they're going to name him Emmanuel. I can't even remember what I did last week. 750 years is quite astounding to me, and it came true. I heard a sermon that of those 300 prophecies, even if you just carved off a part of them, 300 sounds a lot. Well, what if you just took 60 prophecies and they came right? That would be, to make that happen, if any of you math guy people are out here, that's a one with over 150 zeros after the one. That's the probability, the likelihood that that event would occur. And you got 240 more to add to it. Pretty significant. Pretty significant. Go ahead and put up the next slide, please. But there's another word, and we see it right here. In Isaiah 7:14, that prophet that Jesus that was being quoted right here in Matthew. Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son and will call him Emmanuel. Emmanuel means God with us. Is God with us here tonight? I believe so. It says where two or more gathered, he's here amongst us. When we celebrate his birth tomorrow, we celebrate tonight, we celebrate when we light the candles and we sing the songs and we worship, he's with us. He's with us always. And that's the part that we should remember when we're opening our presents tomorrow. We're eating our food. We're having our fellowship and our friends and fun times with our family. Jesus is with us. So next slide, please. So what I think is important also is that we go to Scripture and we want to read some names for Jesus. Now, Jesus is pretty obvious. Jesus, there's many people who are named Jesus today. It's a popular name in the Hispanic world. Jesus, Jesus. But I think there's a better way of describing who Jesus was meant to be. And it's by the actions and the choices of the activities that Jesus was going to do here on earth. God had a purpose for Jesus coming here so that he could save us. He had a purpose to send him here so that we could have salvation. And it was a free gift offered to everybody. But these names, I've just picked out five of them, and I think they're important. The very first one, if you put it up, please, of course, is John from John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. That's the crazy sign that the guy with the multicolored hair in the end zone by the football field is holding up. John 3:16, repent. Repent. You see, the first name that I think is important is because God sent Jesus to us, is that he was given to us. Name number one, Jesus was given to us. He came here to pursue you. He came here to seek you, Kenny. He came here to be with us. God sent him because he loved us first. He was given to us. That's the first thing. And that's where I think the practice of giving of gifts is so important, because it's a symbol of what God did for us. Don't lose sight of the fact it's not a competition. It's not something where you have to outdo each other. It's not the grass is greener on the other side. It's the giving from your heart, because that's the symbolism of what God did for us. If we're in the habit of just giving gifts because of we're forced to or we have to, you ever gotten a gift like that? It feels different. And I've gotten some simplest gifts for my kids, from my family. They weren't a lot of money. Some of the best gifts I've ever gotten, what do they say, ladies, they're asking for, you know, about the cards and the words. It's not how the expense, it's not even the fancy wrapping. It's about the thought. Do you think God thought about us when he sent us his son? Do you think he was thinking about the sins you're going through right now and the struggles you're going through? Did he think about the empty chairs around the tables that you're going to be experiencing during this holiday season? Absolutely. Absolutely. God gave us Jesus. I don't know about you, but that's a pretty high standard right there. If God can give us Jesus when I was a sinner, a loser, a wretch, because he loved me, what does that mean about me with other people in my life? The people we run into, just like that little boy. I think I need to give Jesus to somebody else. Number two, put up the next slide, please. Matthew 1:23, we just read this one. The virgin, and that was important that she be a virgin without sin, will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel. You see, he came to us. Not only did God give us, he set Jesus apart and said, go. But Jesus came here to us. Arlene, he came here for you. He came here for you, JD. He said, JD, where are you at? The picture we have up on the wall is the knocking on the doors of our hearts. Amen? He came for each of us. And that's name number two. God gave him to us. He came to us. Number three, Romans chapter 5:8. The third name that I think is important is this verse that says, but God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were sinners, Christ died for us. Not only did God send him, not only did Jesus come for us, but he died for you and me. And it says clearly in Scripture, there's no greater love than to lay your life down for your friends. Jesus laid his life down for each and everyone here. He laid his life down for the guy in the gutter, for the woman in the brothel, for the woman that has 10 kids and no husband. He came for the person that's in jail, the murderers, the thieves. I love the interesting conversations when Jesus is dealing with the Pharisees and the Sadducees, where they felt themselves so superior. I have to be careful. We can catch ourselves and do the same thing. Oh, look at, I'm not like that person. But those are the people exactly who Jesus came for. And he died on the cross. You see, Jesus had to be without blemish. He had to be sinless. He had to be the ultimate sacrifice to overcome that death. God gave him to us. He came for us. He died for us. Number four. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. Praise be to God, and the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Please don't lose sight of this. Jesus came, the birth was miraculous. That just blows my mind to think about how that happens. Grew up, he died, and then he rose again 3 days later. They're all miracles. They're all miraculous. They're all phenomenal. They're all unexplainable. Except when we read scriptures and we see the truth, we understand this is a part of God's plan. Jesus had to rise again. Sadly, every other religion in the world, their leaders, their gods, their whoever they focus on, the only one who can claim that is Jesus. Jesus is not dead, people. He's alive. We don't serve a God that's in the tomb. And that ought to give us hope. Because what happens, what has happened when Jesus overcame death is he removed the sting of death. What's the worst thing that happens to us when we die? We change our zip code. We're now in the presence of the Lord. Now, and again, I've always said this. Woody Allen used to say this. Funny, I don't want to be there at the time of my death. I don't want to go through that. I know we have to experience it and go through it. I'd just rather not be there at the time it happens. But death is inevitable for all of us. And when you are facing that, I dealt with that with my brother recently when before he passed away from cancer. And many of you experience it as well when you're dealing with relatives that are slowly dying or getting close to passing. You ask them the question, where are you spending eternity? Are you prepared for death? Do you know that Jesus is your Lord and Savior? Are you prepared for the future? See, Jesus didn't come just for the moment. He came for the future. He came for what's going to happen, not what has already happened. And in this case, he rose for us. That was number four. Number five. John 14, chapter 3 says this, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you may be where I am. That's the verse or section of verses that I prayed and I spoke about at my mom's funeral. That was the very first funeral I ever did. I was still in Bible school. My mom passed away. And I kind of got thrust in the middle of it. And God just put a picture on my heart of this mansion, this beautiful home in heaven. And all his people are with him. And everybody's got a spot and everybody's got a place. And he's preparing a place for us. But what's critical, and don't lose sight of this, is he's coming back for us. He not only died and rose again, and he ascended to be in heaven, but he says, I'm coming back for you. That's the true hope for the future. God's not going to leave us nor forsake us. He's not leaving us here to grovel and to stay behind and get beat up and to face persecution. He's given us the Holy Spirit. But he's also given us the promise that he's coming back for us in the future. Not only did God give him us, Jesus is pursuing you. He died for you. He rose again. And he's going to come back for us. I like to think of it like this. Those five names, as I call them, those five actions really describe and define who Jesus is to me. When I think of the presents I'm going to get tomorrow, I might get a couple. I'm going to use words to describe what those things are. I'm going to smell them. I might taste them. I might feel them. But here I have a Savior that has touched my life and impacted my life greater than any other gift that I'll ever receive in my life. And those five names are important for us to remember. Next, name number five. He's coming back for us. I had a friend who was one of my pastors and also a teacher when I was going through my undergraduate program. And he wrote this in a blog recently. He said, "Dear friends, Merry Christmas. This week we celebrate Christmas. Some of us will be with family or friends. Others will be alone. Some of us will have homes filled with busyness and noise. Others will experience silence and solitude. Some of us will reflect on a year of growth and success. Others will look back on a year of loss and hardship. I'm reminded that Jesus came into a world of desolation to become our consolation. He came into darkness to be light. He came to give sight to the blind and gave freedom to the captive. He came not as the last thought of the year, but as the first thought for the year ahead. He's not the addition to what has been, but the foundation of what will be. Whatever we bring to Christmas Day this year, let's perhaps think of Christmas as the first day of the next season. The coming of Christ is not a capstone to the past, but the cornerstone for our future." When you spend time with your family tomorrow and you're opening those gifts, think about Jesus. Think about him being that cornerstone. Think about him being that light into your life. However you want to describe the importance of who Jesus is, I've given you five words or names. There's many, many more. He has touched us. He has interceded into our lives and taken us from a path of destruction and sinfulness into a path that's on a new journey to eternity with him. A gift for all of us. Next. He was given for us. He came to us. He died for us. He rose for us. And he'll come back for us. So here's the question for you to ponder tonight. Is Emmanuel with you? If Emmanuel means God with us, is Emmanuel with you? What does that mean? Some of you might be pondering, what does that mean? What's the next step? I don't have Jesus in my life. I'd like to have Jesus in my life. That's the next step. Are you ready to accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior? Are you ready to take that next step? Are you ready to take the package and the gift that God has given us and open it up and accept it in your life? I have one more illustration I'd like to read before we get done. Some gifts you give this Christmas are beyond monetary value. You can mend a quarrel, dismiss suspicion, tell somebody I love you. You can give something away anonymously, forgive somebody who has treated you wrong, turn away wrath with a soft answer, visit somebody in a nursing home, apologize if you're wrong, but be especially kind to somebody with whom you work. Give as God gave to you in Christ without obligation or announcement or reservation or hypocrisy. I think, as I've said many times, the greatest testimony that you have is not how much you quote and shout out the word of God. It's how much do you live it in your life? Does the world see Jesus in your life? Are you giving Jesus away in the things that you do every day? What are the words people think of when they think of you? What do they hear? What do they sense? What do they know? This person is different. There's a light about them. Doesn't mean we're not going to have struggles. Doesn't mean that we're not going to have difficult times. Doesn't mean that we're not going to have losses. But we do have a Savior, and His name is Jesus. If you'd like to know Jesus tonight, come up and see me afterwards, and I'd be glad to talk with you. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this night that we honor through tradition the birth of your Son, Jesus, the gift that you gave so many years ago so that we could have eternity with you. Father, I know that none of us are worthy in here. None of us are worth the time of day that you have given us. But Lord, we know that you love us. And because of that love, and because of the ability of Jesus' shed blood to remove the sins in my life, we can have right relationship with you. And you give us this time here on earth to share Jesus with others. And Lord, I just pray that everybody who is hearing my words tonight takes that to heart and shares the good news of Jesus wherever they go. It's not about the presents. It's not about the food. It's not about the traveling and the trips. It's about sharing Jesus. Because we want the good news for everybody to be heard. Father, I thank you for the service tonight. I thank you for the many hands behind the scenes. I thank you that we have a place that we can openly and honestly celebrate you. Lord, there's brothers and sisters around the world that are struggling tonight on this very same night that we celebrate and we are lit up and we're having a great time, and they're hiding in fear and in fear. Father, pray for protection around those churches and those pastors and those people that are having to live and struggle under persecution. Father, protect our great country, protect our leadership, protect our government, protect our military, our first responders. Lord, bless those that are on the front lines tonight. Bless those and protect those that are sacrificing their time and their efforts tonight to give us peace at home. Father, we don't know what tomorrow holds. None of us do. And somebody here sitting here tonight might be pondering, I can't wait till tomorrow. I need to do this tonight. Father, if you're knocking on their heart, let them hear. Let them answer. Let them be open. Let them be honest. Let them come speak to me. I'd love to be able to talk to them about your Son, Jesus. Father, we're so blessed. We're blessed as a country. We're blessed as a church. We're blessed as a small community here in the middle of Illinois. Father, as we celebrate tomorrow, let it be all about your Son. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.